Do you find any of your training and skill that came from the police officer world has helped you be a CEO?
Yeah, you know, being an LA policeman, you learn how to deal with tons of different personalities, different people, not only your fellow officers, when you're dealing with just the public on the street, interacting with people, that's surely an important skill. And of course, my thick skin. Obviously, working in LA in those neighborhoods, you got to have really thick skin. So it's funny when clients get mad at me or something, or they try to act all tough. I'm just like, chill, bro. You know, I'm just talking in front of a screen. It's just funny because I don't lead off a sales call, or even when we get into a relationship with the client, letting them know that I was a former policeman. You know, I mean, unless they listen to the podcast or read our bio or read my bio or something, I don't really lead with that. I don't tell people my previous career. So there's tons of things that help me just deal with stress, I think, as well. Being a CEO is stressful, and the ups and downs of an agency, nothing can prepare you for that. And my wife always tells me, like, man, you just lost a bunch of clients or whatever. You're super busy all the time. How do you deal with the stress? And I'm like, man, this is easy compared to what I used to do. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Heroes are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen, to everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell. From the doctor saving lives at your local hospital, to the war veteran down the street who risked his life for our freedom, to the police officers and the firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur, the creator, the producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what? I can fix that. I can help people. I can make a difference. Then they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to the Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks on the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence, so you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome back to the Hero Show. My name is Richard Matthews. Today I have the pleasure of having Jason Smith on the line. Jason, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Awesome. Glad to have you here. I know we were just chatting before we got on. You're coming in from Colorado, is that right?
Yes.
So you started to get the warm weather yet this springtime?
Yeah, a little bit. It's really windy today, but yes, it was 60, 65 over the weekend. So happy about that for sure.
Yeah. And for my audience who's always wondering where we're at, we're in Georgia right now. And the weather finally started to warm up. It's like 80 degrees today, which is very nice because we've been cold for like 3 months in all the places we've been visiting. So it's nice.
Cool.
So one of the things I always like to do before we get into your story is just go over a brief introduction for our audience so they know who you are. So I'm going to do that and then we'll just dive into your story. So Jason Smith founded Spotlight Social in 2016. Before that, served as a Los Angeles police officer for 13 years. He lives in Colorado with his wife and children. And your story of leaving the police force for digital marketing has been chronicled on your own podcast, The Truth About Social Ads. And when you're not building high-converting Facebook and Instagram campaigns, you enjoy wakeboarding, wake surfing, and dirt biking. And I'm curious, I don't know what wake surfing is. I do wakeboarding, but I've never wake surfed.
You never wake surfed, huh? It's awesome. Yeah, you just get up with the rope, but then let go of the rope behind the boat and surf on a big old wave right behind your boat. So it's pretty fun. You'll have to do it.
I know. We got a friend who has a boat over the summertime. We always go wakeboarding with them. So I'll have to look it up, see if I can figure that out. My son and I are currently learning windsurfing, which is, you know, surfboard with a big sail on it. So we're learning to do that this summer where we started last summer. But anyways, we're not very good at it yet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I always like to start off just talking about what you're known for, right? Question sets up who you are now, what your business is like, who do you serve, what do you do for them?
Yeah, so we're known for what my bio said, creating, running, and managing high converting social media ads. So our bread and butter is Facebook, Instagram, but we also do TikTok, Snapchat, Pinterest as well. And man, I mean, we handle all niches, and I think about 80% of our clients are e-commerce clients, driving traffic to their store, trying to create ads that convert at a very high level for them and getting a really nice return for them. And we have some lead generation clients, but for the most part, we love e-commerce because we love helping businesses grow and scale on social media and making it a viable revenue source for businesses and brands. So
I used to run a big e-commerce company. We did a couple $1 million a year in candle sales. And I know one of the channels that was just really difficult for us to crack was social media, because we had a tremendous amount of revenue being driven by your shopping platforms like Walmart and Amazon. And we wanted all the stuff that works on your advertising for Walmart or Amazon does not work on Facebook or Instagram. It's a very different world.
Yeah, for sure. And it's complicated. It's funny. People will come to me and be like, oh, I bought this course. And I'm like, man, don't buy the course unless you're really going to dive in. I mean, it takes years to really learn, especially Facebook, now Meta. But it takes years to really learn the ins and outs and how the system works and what works, what doesn't work. And it's constantly changing. Literally once a month, twice a month, there's either an update or something changes or they've updated the AI, whatever it is. So yeah, it's a complicated process and hence why agencies like us exist.
Yeah, I know. I used to do Facebook ads and I got out of the business because I couldn't keep up with it. And I was like, man, everything I thought I knew this week was different next week. And I was like, that is just not the business I like being in. I like to hire people who like that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that's why you hire us, right? Yeah, it's super complicated. And luckily, we're at the highest level of partnership with Facebook. So we get all the updates before anyone else and we get invited to private events and either to Austin or LA or sometimes Chicago and stuff. So we're lucky we're in the know, because if we weren't, I don't know how these agencies do it that fly blind and don't have a contact over there, because it can be super tough.
Yeah, especially when they do things like cancel your accounts or shut things down or disapprove things. Yeah. Like, man.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because people will come to us, I don't know, either from word of mouth or whatever, but people will come to us just to try to get their accounts unlocked and stuff like that. And it can be a big black hole if you don't have the right contacts, for sure. Yeah.
And it's interesting too, because they have such a ginormous amount of the available ad inventory on the internet, Facebook does, that it's almost impossible to ignore them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny too, because people don't realize, they'll come to us and say, oh, my audience really isn't on Facebook, but they're on Instagram. But then we get to run their ads and 90% of their purchases are coming from Facebook, you know? And so everybody's on Facebook, whether they say it or not, whether they tell you or not. Everybody's buying from ads on Facebook and Instagram. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's a huge market. It's worth learning, worth figuring out. I'm curious, how did you get into Facebook ads? We talk on this show about your origin story, right? Every good comic book hero has an origin story. It's the thing that made them into here they are today. And we want to hear that story. Were you bit by a spider that made you want to get into Facebook ads? Or I know we mentioned you started as a police officer. How do you go from police officer to running one of the largest digital marketing agencies for Facebook?
Yeah, total 360 degree career change. And it's funny, because most policemen, they think they're stuck in the career. They think they're stuck there. You know, LAPD's a big department, about 10,000 officers roughly around there. And you're just kind of a number. And I worked all the really violent neighborhoods in Los Angeles. You're originally from LA, you know, Watts and East LA. Those are the areas that I worked my entire career, South LA. And it just gets old. Been in multiple shootings and been shot at several times and been in every stressful situation known to man. And I just woke up one day and I'm like, man, what am I doing? Chasing gang members all night and doing that stuff. And had a few things happen to me on the job that I was like, gosh, I need to find something else. Kind of out of the blue, one of my buddies owned a supplement company at the time when I was still a policeman. And he came to me and I was actually relieved of duty at the time from a shooting. And I had some time, a few days to spend and chill at home. And he's like, hey, I've heard like this Facebook ads thing is supposed to be pretty cool. People are making money off of it, driving people to their online store. And he's like, you want to help me out? And I'm like, man, I don't know anything about Facebook ads, but if you need someone just to help out and collaborate on stuff, throw ideas off of them, you know, that's how it all started. And then next thing you know, we created a bunch of ads that I didn't even think were that good. And he started making money on his site from Facebook and Instagram advertising. So I'm like, man, I got to dive into this. And what's funny in life, the way life goes, sometimes you have a door open up, right? But we always don't. Well, we usually don't take that open door. We look at it and go, oh, that's a little too risky, or I have a decent career. I don't want to leave. But I saw the open door. I was already dissatisfied with being a policeman. And I just jumped in with both feet. I ended up going to a really high level training in Austin, Texas. That was 7-day intensive training. And they basically teach you all about Facebook ads and how to become a Facebook ad expert and all that stuff. And then, gosh, went there, spent a lot of money because the course was not cheap. Actually, I couldn't even afford the course. I called the owners up of the course at the time and I said, hey, listen, I'd really like to come to this thing, but I'm just a broke policeman in Los Angeles and I'd love to come, but I can't afford $15K. That's how much it was, but I really see the value in this. And the two owners hung up from that call and called me back and said, hey, how much can you afford? Or how much can you afford to pay us monthly? And I'm like, gosh, I don't know, couple $100 a month or whatever. So I was the only one in the class that actually was able to do a monthly payment plan on this course. And I literally stayed in a shared Airbnb because I couldn't afford the plane tickets and all the hotel and everything. And And that's how it all started. And left the training, applied everything that they taught me, and then just worked my butt off. And that's how it all started. And that's how I got where I am today.
So you started off in a training course and built it into, how big is your agency now? Like, how many staff members do you have?
We've got about 20 right now, growing every year. Yeah, never thought I'd have 20 employees working for me. That's for sure. Yeah,
it's crazy to go from police officer to shared an Airbnb to learn a skill and turning that skill into a business that's employing 20 families. It's nuts.
It is nuts. I still talk to my wife sometimes and I'm like, man, I still can't believe this is happening. And best thing I ever did was leave the police department. And again, a lot of policemen think they're stuck in the job and they can't leave, or they don't have the skills to do anything else. But I did it. If I could do it, anybody can, for sure.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, do you find any of your training and skill that came from the police officer world has helped you be a CEO?
Yeah, I think so. You know, being an LA policeman, you learn how to deal with tons of different personalities, different people, not only your fellow officers, when you're dealing with just the public on the street and interacting with people. That's a surely an important skill. And of course, my thick skin. Obviously, working in LA in those neighborhoods, you got to have really thick skin. So it's funny when clients get mad at me or something, or they try to act all tough. I'm just like, chill, bro. You know, I'm just talking in front of a screen. It's just funny because I don't lead off a sales call, or even when we get into a relationship with a client, letting them know that I was a former policeman. You know, I mean, unless they listen to the podcast or read our bio or read my bio or something, I don't really lead with that. I don't tell people my previous career. So there's tons of things that help me just deal with stress, I think, as well. Being a CEO is stressful, and the ups and downs of an agency, nothing can prepare you for that. And my wife always tells me, like, man, you just lost a bunch of clients or whatever. You're super busy all the time. How do you deal with the stress? And I'm like, man, this is easy compared to what I used to do. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. That cracks me up, especially the, you know, chill bro things. You're like, I've been shot at, whatever. This is easy compared to that.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, chill out. Okay. You're not going to rough my feathers or get me all riled up. I'm not chasing you as a gang member turning around and shooting at me. So whatever we're doing here on the Zoom calls has nothing to do, or it just doesn't compare to that. So yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I always liken that to those of us who are doing this type of work. You run an agency, I run an agency.
Sure.
It's knowledge work, right? It's the kind of work that we do with in between our ears and with our voice and communication skills and that stuff. And I always think sometimes, because we talk about it, it's not easy work. It's not like this is just show up and it's the easiest thing in the world. But also, it's not the same as some of the more demanding careers, like a police officer or a fireman, or I imagine even like a surgeon, or some of the other people who are, you know, working with their hands every day and really getting dirty. So I both love that aspect of it. And at the same time, it's hard to describe the difficulty, right? Because you don't have calluses on your hands at the end of the day.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. It's weird, but I still enjoy getting out, shooting, and all the stuff I used to do, just not quite frequently as I used to do it before. And I still love working with my hands as well. I love being in the garage and doing all that. So yeah, you're right. Yeah. And it's funny too, because as a policeman, I didn't do any personal development. I didn't read books, right? I was chasing gang members all night and serving search warrants and all this other stuff and testifying in court as a weapons expert and a gang expert and all this stuff. But I tell you what, man, like, I love what I do now. Like you said, we're thinking a lot, right? We're using our brain, and use your brain as a policeman. But a lot of what you do as a policeman is you train so you don't have to use your brain. And it's second nature to react and do certain things out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And yeah, I'm the same way. I love the personal development side of running a company. And it's like a required aspect of making yourself better. Right. Making you think better, think faster, think stronger, like that kind of stuff. And I also, same kind of thing, where because I'm a knowledge worker, I have to have projects outside of work, like in the garage, building desks and other things. Yeah. I got to have something that I'm getting my hands dirty with.
Yeah, exactly. I just built a pretty awesome cutting board for my wife. I do a bunch of different projects, but you got to do that as well. And
I find that funny because my last project was a cutting board.
Oh, really?
That's awesome. Yeah, I did an edge grain teak cutting board for our kitchen. Cool. So it's really nice.
Yeah. And then wakeboarding, wake surfing. I mean, I'm a big motocross guy. I used to race professional motocross when I was younger and all that. Doing all that stuff too, super important for the brain as well.
So I want to talk then about your superpowers, right? Every iconic hero has a superpower, whether that's a fancy flying suit made by genius intellect or the ability to call down thunder from the sky or super strength. In the real world, heroes have what I call a zone of genius, which is either a skill or a set of skills that you were born with or that you developed over the course of time that really energize all your other skills. And so the way I like to frame it for my guests is you have probably throughout all the skills you developed over your career, a common thread that ties all those together. And that's probably where you find your superpowers. So with that framing, what do you think your superpower is as the CEO of your agency?
I think for me, one of my superpowers is teaching and training. I used to do that a lot at the police department as well. I really just enjoy teaching and training. When we bring on new employees and stuff, one of my favorite things to do is teach them the ins and outs of ads, the ins and outs of marketing. So I think that's probably my superpower. And a close second to that is probably, like I said earlier, dealing with stress, being able to think clearly in stressful situations. And that wasn't even from the police department. I think I was just born with that ability to be able to think under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. And it's a different stress now, but it's still very stressful and it can get to you if you let it.
So with the teaching as a superpower, do you find you use that more with your staff or with your clients, or where do you see that being most impactful in your business?
Yeah, it's all around, actually. We do a lot of teaching because there's some clients that want to be super hands-on and know what we're doing and why we're doing certain things. We're always teaching clients and staff as well. And I even taught a couple classes at Facebook as well. I went to Facebook and taught some e-commerce courses there. I think teaching and just having the ability to disseminate the information properly to be a good educator when you're teaching something is super important.
Yeah, I went through a program a number of years ago called Teaching Sales and have found that to be very true, that if you approach your sales and marketing from an educational standpoint, a lot of times your prospective clients don't necessarily want to do the work, but they want to know that you know how to do it. Being able to educate is really useful in the sales process. Have you found that to be true as well?
Yeah, for sure. Because actually, one of the things that I do in my sales process is I do with what I call a strategic review. And I literally get on video, live on a video, and I run through people's or brands' campaigns inside of Facebook Business Manager. And this is why we do this. This is what we do. Here's some red flags. This is what I don't like. This is what I like. And then after that educating process ends, I let them know exactly what it looks like to work with us and why I think it would be a good idea to partner. And that's an important thing too. Agencies, I like partnering. I don't like just them not knowing what we do. They got to know what we do. They got to be profitable, and the education process, and that's super important.
I love that. And I know it's the same thing. We run a podcasting agency and I always tell all my clients, like, none of our processes are behind a black door or something like that. Anything that you want to know, we'll show you and teach you how we do these things.
Yeah.
And all the way up to the point where it's like, I think we've outgrown you as an agency. We want to bring this in-house. You can hire us to help you install all the systems we use in our business so you can run
it
as well. Because we know our place in the marketplace, and being able to educate and teach people gives you more opportunities to help your clients.
Yep, for sure. Absolutely. I like it.
If your superpower then is your ability to educate and handle stress, the flip side of those is always the fatal flaws, right? Just like Superman has his kryptonite or Wonder Woman can't remove her bracelets of victory without going mad, you probably have a flaw that's held you back in your business, something that you struggled with. For me, it was a couple of things. I struggled with perfectionism for a long time, kept me from shipping product. Struggled with self-care for a long time, and I didn't have good boundaries with my client or didn't have good boundaries with my time. But I think more important than what the flaw is, how have you worked to overcome it so you can continue to grow your agency to where it is today?
Yeah, I think one of my biggest flaws is probably on the more of the financial side. I'm not really that good with handling money, and I spend without thinking sometimes. My wife's really helped me with that. And so I think that for me is probably one of my biggest weaknesses there, is just looking at our numbers as a whole. And went without a CFO for many years, finally hired a CFO. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. This is how you really run a business financially. So he's taught me a lot. So I think that's probably my number one thing, is just getting my head wrapped more around the financial side of things. And again, I came from a police officer, not making very much money. And the money you do make usually goes to really stupid things. And to cope with the stress, you're probably drinking or doing something dumb. So I think that's probably my main flaw.
I feel that hard because it's April 15th as we're recording this, which is tax day. Yeah. Yesterday I was just like, I need to file an extension because I don't have all my bookkeeping done for last year yet. So I get that. And I'm still like, we're not big enough to afford a CFO, but we're also big enough that our monthly revenue is twice what my yearly income used to be 5 years ago.
Yes, me too. Trust me. Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game and a whole different set of rules. And a whole different set of how you manage things and what you plan for and what you don't plan for. And I am not ashamed to admit, I got a lot to learn in that category, specifically on running an agency and getting those finances. And I actually have one of my goals written down, is figure out how to hire a CFO, because I am terrible at all of those things.
Yeah. And my CFO, actually, he's a fractional CFO. So we meet a couple times a month. He goes over everything. So if you need a referral, let me know. Hook you up with him.
I will take the referral, because that's something that I struggle with. And I know it's probably a thing that a lot of businesses go through, where as soon as you cross that six-figure mark in the business revenue, now you're getting out of the territory of normal family income and into the territory of now you got a business and there's things that you have to know about how to run the finances there that are just a lot different.
And not only that,
tax implications and laws.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. You listen to some colleagues that maybe be smaller or bigger than you or whatever. Oh, just run everything through the business. Just use your debit card and get gas and go to Target or whatever. You got to have some separation there. I've learned a lot over the last 3 years and how to separate all that stuff and why we do certain things.
Yeah,
my CFO is super patient with me.
We tried to buy a business a couple of years ago and learned a lot from that process where they were running their company like a personal bank account. And then because of that, they couldn't get the valuation they wanted on the company. And then the deal fell through.
Yes.
And so we weren't able to buy the business. They weren't able to sell it for what they wanted to because of their lack of financial understanding of how to run the accounting side of it. Because if they had not been doing that, they probably could have got the valuation they wanted for the company because the revenue supported it, but the accounting behind it did not.
Exactly.
And So important lessons.
Yeah, totally. And it's crazy how all that works when it's the whole learning process. And again, I had no clue 10 years later or something like that, I'd be an entrepreneur, a CFO, and having to deal with certain things that you never think about. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk then about your common enemy. Switch gears a little bit here. Every superhero has what I call an arch nemesis. It's a thing that they constantly have to fight against in their world. But in your world, we like to put it in the context of the clients that are hiring you. And it's a mindset or a flaw that they come to you with that you have to constantly fight to overcome so you can actually get them the result they came to you for.
Yeah.
So in your world of Facebook ads and Instagram ads, what is that common enemy that you constantly have to fight against?
That's a good question. And I think after all these years, I've learned that the common enemy when clients come to us is thinking that social media ads is going to solve either a financial issue for them. Oh, we're just going to get a bunch of ads up and we're going to make all this money. And they haven't put the work in before to make their website really good. Because if you don't have a good site, you're going to have really crappy ads because once they get to your site, it's not going to convert. So there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle that a lot of people don't realize. But I think the number one thing is people come or brands come to us and say, hey, you got this brand X amount of return and this brand X amount of return. So I'll say solving a financial burden that they may have. A lot of brands come to us and say, hey, I really need X amount of return. I'm like, okay, great. But it's going to take us a while to get there. I think the other thing is coming in with the wrong expectations of return on ad spend, and they run their whole business on, I need a 10X return on ad spend. I'm like, okay, well, that's really not how you run ads. There's a lot more to it than just looking at, I spent this much and we made this much in revenue. It sounds simple, but it's not that simple. There's a lot of nuances that go into it. So I'd say that's probably a close second there.
Yeah, I know the first part on being operationally ready to run ads is a thing that I don't think people quite understand.
No.
And a lot of times they want to get into ads first because that's how you drive leads and that's how you drive sales and whatnot. But you have to have your operations ready for that, which means your website, your product and service delivery, like all of the pieces post sale. Oh man, you mentioned your friend earlier had a supplement company. It was 2015, it's almost 10 years ago. We started a supplement company and got all the way up to $60,000 a month in sales and then had a major inventory problem whereby lost an entire shipment of our orders and lost them for 3 months, which destroyed the company. And we didn't know to even prepare for those things or how to prepare for those things. So like whatever ad spend we had was all just wasted.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that if you don't know how to operationally deal with scale, it's not just turn them on and your business is ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and there's tons of facets to social media ads, Facebook ads, right? Do you have good copy? Do you have good creative? Do you have good videos? You know, and if you don't want to spend the money to hire a great video crew to film really good videos, then they come to us and they're like, oh, we're just going to record a bunch of stuff on our iPhone and hopefully that'll work. And I'm like, okay, that'll work to a certain extent, but there's a lot of little nuances that brands don't realize. And it's hard to do it, but it's a lot cheaper than doing a commercial spot or a radio spot or something like that as well. Even podcasts, there's some podcasts we get reached out to all the time to advertise on podcasts, you know, and I'm like, man, that's freaking expensive sometimes. So it's pretty interesting how all that works.
Yeah. And I love the second thing you talked about too, which is just the not understanding how return on ad spend works. And I spent $100 on ads. If I didn't make $1,000 in sales within 48 hours, the ads failed.
Right.
And I encountered that a lot with the last e-com company that we worked with, the one that we tried to purchase, where he was old school and he was like, no, if I spend $100 in ads, I want $1,000 in sales. But there's also your lifetime customer value and the cost of customer acquisition. And there's all these pieces that go into it that is more than just return on ad spend.
Yep.
And it would be nice if we could just click a button and get spend a dollar and get 10 every time we did it. But yeah, like there's a whole process to all of that. And you have to have the pieces together. You have to have your email sequences and you have to have your customer service follow-up. And have you thought about the one of the funniest things I ever saw that really just cracked me up was a plastic wrap. Mm-hmm. Get to the end of the plastic wrap roll and a little card pops out and says, you're out of plastic wrap. Make sure you put it on your list. It's got a coupon code to buy more.
Yeah.
Is your product marketing in place to help people come back and do those things?
Yeah.
And that's how you actually get a return.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, I'll tell you one of the other biggest things that a lot of brands come to us and the biggest issues that we have is site load speed. That is a huge issue right now because we want everything fast, right? We want the website to load in 2 seconds or else we're leaving. Ah, screw this. I'm out of here. And that is one of the biggest killers of ads. And I'll tell you what, nobody's talking about it. Nobody. And when I do my strategic review, I'll go in and this brand is doing 500K a month in sales. And I go to their page load speed and it takes 30 seconds for it to load on mobile. I'm like, dude, you could double your revenue just by your site load speed loading in 3 to 4 seconds. So that's a big thing that no one's really talking about. No one focuses on because when you see an ad, you're going to their site. So it's got to load fast on mobile. So you're going to lose people.
Yeah, that one's huge. I know that was one of the things we've spent a lot of time focusing on with that e-com site was trying to get the site load speeds under a second.
Yeah.
Which is not easy to do. So we would target under a second and hit 2, but still when we went from like getting it from 6 seconds down to 2 seconds, it doubles your return easily.
Exactly. And it doubles everything. You know, your average order value will probably go up. Your conversion rate on your site's definitely going to go up. Your return customer rate's probably going to go up. There's so many facets to it. And that's what I mean. It's not just, hey, let's turn on a bunch of ads and see what we can get. There's a lot of prep, a lot of education, you know, that goes into all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk then about the flip side, right? We're talking about your common enemy. Talk a little bit about your driving force. So if your common enemy is what you fight against, your driving force is what you fight for. So just like Spider-Man fights to save New York or Batman fights to save Gotham or Google fights to index and categorize all the world's information, what is it you fight for with your agency, your mission, so to speak?
I mean, I think our mission, especially the last few years, is just to help brands grow and scale on Facebook, but do it the right way, right? Like with all this stuff that we've been talking about right now, all the pieces of the puzzle is together. Once all that's together, really helping brands grow and scale. And like I said earlier, making social media ads a profitable and consistent revenue source for a brand. That's our goal. Do it profitably, have some awesome ads. And we also like to work with cool people as well. I'm not trying to work with a bunch of micromanagers and all that stuff. Let us do our job and do our thing and we'll grow your business. That's it.
Yeah, you know? I love that. I always look at a lead gen in 4 categories. I call them the 4 Bs, buy, borrow, build, blitz. And I tell all of our clients in the podcast space that you should have a strategy in all 4 of those categories. You should have a buy strategy. And my only recommendation is always start with Facebook.
Yeah. Yes. Right. This is true.
Facebook's a great buy strategy. Mm-hmm. And then the borrow is when you do things like go on someone else's podcast and listen to their audience or get onto the Today Show or something like that. That's borrowing someone else's audience or building a JV partnership. And then build, that's what we do at Push Button Podcast. We talk about building your own audience with a podcast so you can put your stuff in front of them and talk to that. Really useful for e-com stores, by the way. And then Blitz, which is cold outreach, which is direct mail or direct LinkedIn, whatever the thing is, and have strategies in all 4 of those categories. You have a solid marketing plan for your business.
Yep.
And what's interesting to me is how few people look at their marketing that way. I'm just going to run Facebook ads, or I'm just going to try to advertise on podcasts, or I'm just going to try this other thing. You really want to diversify your business. Yep. And have someone in your back pocket that knows how to run Facebook ads, that knows how to run YouTube ads, that knows how to get you on podcasts, that knows how to get you do direct mail, cold outreach stuff, because that's when you really have a solid base for driving sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. That's pretty awesome. And you're right. And it's funny because people say, oh, should I be doing Google? Yes, you should be doing Google. And oh, should I be doing YouTube ads? Yes, you should, because all that's working together. It's feeding the monster, like the brand, and it goes a long way. It's brand awareness and everything.
That's one of the things that we actually tell our clients is they'll come to us and be like, hey, I want to start a podcast. And I'll respond back to them. I'm like, are you sure you're ready to start a podcast?
Yeah.
And they are sure you're ready to start a podcast is generally where I'm going with that is, are you running ads profitably somewhere? Right. Are you running profitable ads on Facebook? Because if you're not running profitable ads on Facebook, you have a much shorter, I don't know exactly what you call this, but a feedback loop on your offer
Correct.
And your audience to know what message works. How is it working? Is it actually driving stuff? Then if you take all of that stuff and move it into a podcast, you have a much slower feedback loop, but you'll have a much higher retention of clients on a podcast. But if your message isn't working here and you need to test it, it'll take you months to find that out with a podcast, where it can take you hours to find out on Facebook if you're running enough scale or working with someone like you guys to really do that. So we tell people all the time, if you're not profitably running Facebook ads, your offer is probably not ready to start a podcast yet.
Correct. Yeah. And it's funny too, because we'll have clients tell us on Google, we're getting this, or they'll say, or on Facebook, we're getting this. Why can't we get that on Google? Because it's two completely different platforms. That's why. And having all that information is a big deal. You can't compare Google to Facebook. We're getting $5 cost per leads on Google. Why can't we get that on Facebook? Because it's a complete different audience. It's a complete different everything.
Crazy. Interruption style marketing.
Yeah.
Facebook is interruption marketing, where you're putting an interruption in someone's newsfeed. And so it's not buyer intent, where Google is buyer intent. You're like, my tooth hurts and I'm in Colorado. So I put in toothache Colorado and you're looking for a dentist, right? But when you're on Facebook and the dentist pops through on your feed, if your tooth doesn't hurt right now, you're just skipping right past the ad, right? It's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you got to learn how to interrupt that pattern. And by the way, there's a stat that came out a few months ago, Facebook published, and the average person scrolls on Facebook and Instagram. The average person scrolls the height of the Statue of Liberty every day on their phone.
Wow.
So that gives you some idea. And it's this little tiny device that we're scrolling on that becomes humongous. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I want to talk then about some practical things for running a business. I call this the hero's tool belt. And just like every superhero has a tool belt with awesome gadgets and batarangs and web slingers and laser eyes or whatever, I'm going to talk about the top one or two tools you couldn't live without to run your agency today. It could be anything from your notepad to your calendar to something you use for your marketing delivery or your service delivery with your clients. Just something that you use every day that you think is essential to getting your job done as the CEO of a big agency.
I would say my first and foremost is my team, the people who work for us, and they're can't live without them. Couldn't do what we're doing today without them. They're the ones that I may be running the business, but they're running the business, if that makes sense. And I love everybody that's on our team. They're awesome people. So that's definitely one thing that I need and love to have. And all the personalities, we love everybody and we get along great. So thankful for all my team members, for sure.
I feel the same way. We just hired employee number 18 staff member on our team, which is really cool.
Awesome.
And in 2019, when we hired our first person, and I remember vacillating on that decision a lot.
Right.
And realizing that I don't know how we're going to afford this person, all this other stuff. And you realize you hire someone else and that's how they pay for themselves because it doubles your capacity.
Sure.
And now I look back on that vacillation. Wow, that guy, that kid back there was dumb, because you can get so much more accomplished. And, you know, my team's the same way. They run all the things in the business. I'm just directing the ship, so to speak. But it's like without them, I couldn't do 1/100th of what our team is outputting on a daily basis by myself. Yeah. And we're producing just a tremendous amount of content for a lot of clients because we're a content production house. And I couldn't do that by myself, no matter how good I was.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You got to grow to a certain point and everybody helps. It's pretty cool. And are you guys all virtual as well?
Yeah, we're 100% virtual team. So we've got staff in the Philippines. We got staff in Florida. We got staff in New Hampshire. And then the CEO of the company, we travel full time. So it just depends on the day where we're at.
Awesome. Yeah.
If you haven't heard of it yet, we use a little virtual meeting space called Kumo Space, and it's like a virtual office, and our whole staff has their own little offices and they can all work in there. And we invite clients in there to introduce them around to staff members and whatnot. It's really a sweet little platform for having a virtual office space for a remote team.
C-U-M-O?
A-U-M-O. Kumo Space.
Kumo Space. Oh, check it out. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Maybe after we're done here, we can pop in. I'll show you our office.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Speaking of heroic tools, I want to take a few minutes to tell you about a tool we built that powers the Hero Show and is now this show's primary sponsor. Hey there, fellow podcaster. Having a weekly audio and video show on all the major online networks that builds your brand, creates fame, and drives sales for your business doesn't have to be hard. I know it feels that way because you've tried managing your show internally and realize how resource-intensive it can be. You felt the pain of pouring 8 to 10 hours of work into just getting 1 hour of content published and promoted all over the place. You see the drain on your resources, but you do it anyways because you know how powerful it is. Heck, you've probably even tried some of those automated solutions and ended up with stuff that makes your brand look cheesy and cheap. That's not helping grow your business. Don't give up, though. The struggle ends now. Introducing Push Button Podcasts, a done-for-you service that will help you get your show out every single week without you lifting a finger after you've pushed that stop record button. We handle everything else: uploading, editing, transcribing, writing, research, graphics, publication, and promotion, all done by real humans who know, understand, and care about your brand
almost as much as you do. Empowered by our own proprietary technology, our team will let you get back to doing what you love while we handle the rest. Check us out at pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero for 10% off the lifetime of your service with us, and see the power of having an audio and video podcast growing and driving micro-celebrity status and business in your niche without you having to lift more than a finger to push that stop record button. Again, that's pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero. See you there.
You're listening to The Hero Show, unlocking the power of influence and success. I want to talk then one last thing about your guiding principles. So one of the things that makes heroes heroic is that they live by a code. For instance, Batman never kills his enemies. He only ever brings them to Arkham Asylum. So as we wrap up the interview, I want to talk about the top one, maybe two principles that you run your life by, run your business by, maybe something you'd wish you'd known when you first started out as an entrepreneur.
Oh, man, I would say being honest and living with integrity. I think those are probably my two things. And I hire as well by those core values at the agency. And I found that when I don't hire by those, I usually fire, because if I don't really base my hiring on that and anything I do in life, really, stuff falls apart.
Yeah, I have been blown away running this podcast as long as we have, how many businesses respond with integrity in some variation or form as being like the foundational aspect of running their business. And you realize that in a capitalist world where we are mutual exchange of value, that if you don't have integrity, the system falls apart.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah. What are you doing when no one's watching? That's, for me, the huge deal. It's integrity. It's crazy how all that works.
Cool. So that's a great place to wrap our interview. But I do finish every interview with a simple challenge called the Heroes Challenge. And I do this to help get access to stories that we might not otherwise find on our own. So the question is simple. Do you have someone in your life or in your network that you think has a cool entrepreneurial story? Who are they? First names are fine. And why do you think they should come share their story with us here on The Hero Show? First person that comes to mind for you.
First person that comes to mind for me is one of my colleagues, Chris Brewer at OMG Commerce. Great guy. I admire him a lot. And I respect everything that he's taught me over the years.
Awesome. Well, we'll see if we can get an introduction. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Yeah.
In comic books, there's always the crowd of people who are cheering and clapping for their acts of heroism. So as we close, our analysis of that is, where can people find you in the future? Where can they light up the bat signal that, hey, I need help getting my social ads going? I think more importantly than where, or who are the right types of people to reach out and ask for your help or to buy your services?
Yeah, gosh, the right people. I guess I'll lead with that one. I think any brand that's spending $5,000 a month or more on Facebook ads or just social ads in general, let's have a chat. We'll see if it's a good partnership. You can find me at jason@spotlightsocialllc.com. or spotlightsocialadvertising.com. And we do have a podcast called The Truth About Social Ads. So we basically talk about the stuff that no one else is talking about, the truth behind everything going on with social media ads. That's what we do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason, for coming on and sharing your story today. I really appreciate it. Is there any final words of wisdom for my audience before we hit the stop record button?
No, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. And yeah, let's keep growing.
Have a good day, Jason.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Hero Show, where we work to shift the cultural narrative around entrepreneurship and celebrate the heropreneurs who make our world a better place. Don't forget to visit our website at theheroshow.tv, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you'll never miss an episode. If you found value in our show, we'd truly appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or better yet, share it with a friend to help us spread the message of entrepreneurship as a force for good. Curious to learn more about the stories and insights of these incredible heropreneurs? Check out our in-depth interviews and resources on our website. Together, let's support and inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs as they embark on their own heroic journeys. Join us again next week for another episode of The Hero Show, where we'll continue to explore the world of heropreneurs, their superpowers, and the positive impact they bring to our lives. Until then, stay heroic.